Hey, it's time for the Daily Journey podcast again. Thank you for joining us today. Today is Carrie Rogers Day on the podcast, and super excited about that. Also, probably got to give a shout out to Travis Raddus for the theme music that you've been enjoying the last week or so. He was also on the podcast recently too, and I never even talked about it. So I feel bad that I didn't give that dude credit, because he'll also make podcast intros for you, for all you at home podcasters. So thanks, Trav, for the theme music. But yeah, we're doing Daily Journey podcast. The thing we're trying to do on this podcast is a few times a week, every Monday, Wednesday, Friday, just have a conversation with someone about things that are just going on in our daily journey. So I ask folks to just bring two questions with them to ask me, and we use it to have a conversation. So if that's helpful for you to listen to other people, real people, have real conversations about the life that we're experiencing right now, then subscribe to Jamestown Harbor Church in your favorite podcast app, iTunes, Overcast, whatever it might be. Or you can just go online to our website, jamestownharborchurch.org, and click sermons, and then look for the Daily Journey series, and you'll find all of them there too. But yeah, Carrie's on today. Carrie, I have known since high school, so I've known her for 20-some years. She's friends with our family, and also she's a church planter. So she's been in ministry ever since she's been in college, and I've you know, kind of worked parallel to her in different youth ministry, young adult ministry types of things. And then this fall, she planted Alive in Granville. So it's a campus of Alive in Jenison, and it's a CRC church plant. They're doing great things, and Carrie in particular is doing great things in Granville. They meet over on 28th Street. And I was really curious to talk to her today in particular, because what's the perspective of someone who has like such a young church right now, and what might that mean? So we talk a little bit about that. But Carrie is the quintessential extrovert, and she is around people all the time, and that is how she gets her life. And she's got lots of relational context, and so we kind of talk a little bit about that today too. So I thought that was it. Yeah, I would love to get that. I love to get that perspective from someone like her. But she's great. She's been around at Jamestown a couple of different times as they were launching too, just to kind of learn from portable church setup and things like that. So, you know, she and I, our ministry careers have intersected, and our personal lives have intersected in a lot of different ways. So happy to have her on. So enjoy our conversation today. Here's Carrie Rogers. What anxiety does that give you as the church planter? I have to imagine there's some.
Oh man, it finally hit this last week, where the first time I thought, man, if this continues long term, mm-hmm. which we sort of know that it probably will as far as large group gatherings.
Yeah.
Yeah, what is that gonna do for a church the size that's, you know, 120 people?
Yeah, I was gonna ask how many people show up on a Sunday, but it's about 120.
It's about 120, yeah. So we did it obviously a little bit different, right, than you guys did
yeah.
when you planted Jamestown. We met at a school with our core group for a while.
Yeah.
And then that sort of grew before we did our official launch in October.
Before you were like officially launched publicly kind of thing. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yep. So we sort of celebrated our 1 year in March.
Oh,
but
interesting.
That was more like when you celebrate your dating anniversary, I feel like, you know,
the day we met. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
Right. And yeah. So that was like, it was an excuse to have cake. You know me, I want to celebrate any chance I can get to celebrate something. I'm like, let's celebrate. Let's throw a party.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it has been a little bit of like, what does this mean? And the people, you know, that we are getting right now, that are sort of our goal is, you know, either people that are disenfranchised with the church or haven't been church people. And so with that, there's not that discipline of what it means to give when you're not in a building or, you know,
or
all that
show
stuff.
Up
or show up
online.
Right.
Yeah.
So
I mean, there is some kind of relative scale of stick-to-itiveness, right? Like in church attenders.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, there's a lot of reasons for wherever you are on that scale, but you feel like we've got a lot of people maybe that are on the not so much kind of end of that scale.
Yeah. Yeah, we have some people, and I did get an email the other day, which is always encouraging when you had somebody that I didn't know them, and they're like, I've only been to your church like twice, but like I'm in, like I love this, and I feel connected, and so you're like, okay, that there's going to be stories like that too, and I'm hoping that there are more of those, and you know, I think this probably has potential to change the way that we think about church from here on out.
Yeah. How do you think about that? What's in your head when you say that?
Yeah. I just think that we won't be able to necessarily either think about it differently or go back to the way that it's always been, right? Sunday mornings are the pinnacle of our spiritual life and what we do. And people love to gather, and it's a little bit like the, I don't know, like the drug that we give folks is when they get together on Sunday. And so I think they're thinking about it different ways, right? That it can be that the goal isn't to just have this big worship service that you leave feeling really good about yourself and your life and whatever, but like what it means to be deeply rooted in your family and in your community and what it means to take care of people really well, but then also what it means to sort of connect, you know, in a virtual way. There are some people that are loving this.
That
they're like, this is my thing. Like I have anxiety about going and meeting new people and doing these things. And so, I think we'll have to pay more attention to what it means to connect with people virtually. And I think we're doing a better job of connecting with people throughout the week.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, I certainly go, I do miss like the every 7 days I'm like, I'm going to see a bunch of you and I can make a connection with you. But so now it's slower and I'm like, you know, I talk to 3-4 half a dozen people a week and it's not the same, you know,
And it's generally also, the people that are more connected sometimes too. It's like, you've got to like make this list of people, like who would I not naturally sort of talk to and then try to reach out to those people. Yeah.
But I also find like God continues to give me opportunities of like, you know, someone who I don't talk to all the time, right, sent me a text and I'm like, oh, well, I should probably call that person, you know, and like things like that. So it gives me some opportunity, but they're, I think you're right though. The concept of what is central, honestly, right now though, I mean, this is like 5 or 6 weeks into this thing and I'm like, I don't think that's changed yet. I think it could give it 6 more weeks, give it 12 more weeks. You know, like that's the conversation nobody wants to have right now.
Right.
Like the conversation we want to have is like, this May 1 opening up the state conversation.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, your word open might mean some very different things than what it actually means.
Yeah. I need to wrap my brain around it too, because you know, it's like, oh man, this is not my bag. I don't like any of this really.
Yeah.
Right?
Sure. So,
but yeah, the likelihood of us being able to gather in the way that we're used to is just not feasible. Probably what people are saying until the kids go back to school.
If even, right? I heard someone, and again, we've all heard somebody say, right?
Yep.
So,
yep.
But like somebody, and the way I make you listen when I say it is I heard somebody who works in the medical field.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, she was a receptionist at a doctor's office. So,
right.
But you know, the comment she made was that we, you know, we're probably won't be able to be in a group of over 50 until 2021, you know, like, so it's like you have these sort of, and I'm thankful for those conversations because they push your brain to accept a different kind of reality.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know,
what would that
look like?
Yeah. Those kind of conversations I get more nervous about our, what's the word I'm looking for? Ability to remain a campus.
Yeah. Your sustainability of it.
Sustainability. Yeah. Thank you. It's one of those, it's much easier because we are a campus, instead of just a church plant.
Not on your own.
No, we have all kinds of resources. We have the classes behind us. We have, Resonate Global, which is a Christian Reformed Church thing behind us. But yeah, it's still like, is this going to continue to make sense? Or do we fold back in, you know, and you just have all these, you know, scenarios.
If then scenarios. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Because you go 120 is fine. But what happens if the day we're able, like, you know, whenever that day is, it's 50 or 40 or 30 or just back to that core team, you know, like, I'm personally thankful that I don't have to think like that right now because like we've, you know, like I said, we're 4.5 years old. So, but if I were the age you guys were, Because here's the thing that I've observed over 4.5 years. There are some people, and the number of this group of people grows weekly, probably, of people who are like, these are my people. Mm-hmm. Like, I went through a thing and they were there. We as a people experienced a thing. And like, or my kids, like, or I have these relationships. I have this, like, I'm connected to this group. And so there are some of these people who are now, would now be people who are like, I can't imagine ever going anywhere else or being anywhere else or not being here. These are my people, right? Mm-hmm. But when you're 4, 6, 7 months old, like, you just haven't had enough time to build those kinds of experiences and relationships yet.
Right.
So like, yeah, it's nervous to go, well, what, they could just pull right out and who knows what happens. And, too much unknown with that.
Yeah, it's interesting. It's in some ways that, you know, being smaller is nice because we can do more things, right? Sure, it's easier to say, all right, we're gonna have, you know, Zoom happy hour and everybody can come.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Right? Like that that's kind of a cool thing. But
yeah,
we'll still have to just kind of wait and see
how the biggest thing that I'm like thankful for right now is we talked about 3 buckets when we planted our church. We talked about proclaiming the gospel. We talked about making a missional impact, and we talked about building authentic discipling relationships. Mm-hmm. And we basically put those in order. Like, as a church with limited resources, as you start, we started with, we're going to proclaim the gospel every week on Sunday mornings. We're going to mm-hmm. invest in that. And then we're going to also begin making a missional impact in our community. And as we grew and as our resources changed, we added into that second bucket of making that missional impact. And we began filling the bucket of building these discipling relationships. And so, like, hiring Ben as our associate pastor was an investment in those last two. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that was a couple years in, and he started building these missional communities. And so I've observed, like, churches who have a really strong gospel proclamation Sunday morning gathering thing, and they have a strong, like, home, like, group-centered, like, spine of this thing. It's just kind of a pivot in between one and the other, and it keeps and it's been working for us. And I think
it's good.
If you only have one of those, right, then it stresses things out a little bit. If you only have the Sunday morning, the temple worship thing, and you don't have that backbone, it's like, okay, now how do we do this?
Yep.
If you never had the temple thing and you're just house churching it anyways, you're fine. It's nothing different, right?
Right. Yep. Exactly. So we look forward to, you know, getting creative with and saying this could be a season where we get to build on what we already built. Cause building relationships was, you know, in our top priorities. And that's happened for a lot of people, but then there's this whole like second wave almost that then, you know, joined us in the last little bit or around Christmas time. And so what does it look like when we, what does it look like when we can maybe say we could gather with, you know, 15, 10 or 15? It's like, okay, we're talking small group house church mission style. And that could end up to be the catalyst that makes this thing grow and that people become inviters.
Yeah.
You know, I'm saying
that's a strategy I'm spending a lot of time thinking about right now.
Yeah,
like, I think a lot of us, it's easy to go, let's give a compromise to the Sunday morning thing so we can do it with less people somehow or something, or like figure out how to get back to that so quickly. And I'm like, I'm not sure I'm interested. I mean, I am, but like,
sure.
I don't think the wisdom is getting back to that as soon as possible.
Right.
You know, I think the wisdom is coming up with new ways to reach your neighbors, you know, mm-hmm. and that might be one of them.
Yep.
So you said, for you, this is like driving you crazy. Like, I'm kind of okay, but I know you're not. So tell me a little bit about like what that means to you. For me?
Yeah, I keep using the phrase, I'm not bred for captivity. Right? Like that's how I feel.
That is a very Kerry Rogers thing to say.
Yes.
I would affirm that.
Yeah, right? Like, I mean,
I'm not bred for captivity.
Yeah, I will say this because I'll ask you a question later and it's, I know enough about the Enneagram to be dangerous, but not always helpful, right? So I'm swimming around in the shallow waters of it at this point. Yeah. But, you know, I feel like, when you look at myself, I'm a pretty classic 7. And So yeah. So I'm looking for people and fun and things to look forward to.
Yeah.
I want to be a bringer of joy, all those things. So in this time, like, there's less for me to look forward to in the traditional ways that I look forward to them.
Yeah.
Every fun thing that I had planned has gotten blown out of the water.
Yeah. Right.
And every time that happens, it's you just like take a punch to the gut a little bit. Right. Like, even when I know in my head it's fine and I can prepare here. Oh, it still hurts my little heart. It does. It's just one of those, like, the first time they moved the date out, say, like, I don't remember what they threw out. And then it was like, and then April 30.
Yeah.
And I knew in my head, but in my heart,
it was like the world ended.
It wrecked me. It wrecked me for like 24 hours.
Yeah.
Even though I knew, even though I prepared, even though cognitively I'm not an idiot.
Like, of course this is going to happen this way. Yeah.
I couldn't. Yeah. I can't always emotionally get there. So my days are very roller coaster.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Where some days
stressful.
It's just like, but then we're getting to a little bit, like you were saying, a new normal.
Yeah.
And so there is a certain amount of like, okay, I now have rhythms. I'm now figuring out what does it mean to look forward to something.
Yeah. There's small things now, right? Like, it's a phone call. It's like, it's a Zoom thing. The person, I'm not bred for captivity. The person I think about, I think about a friend of mine who, when we would go, she was on staff with us, or I think it was when we went to Israel, she went on my Israel trip. And so, like, when you would hike all day, you know, like all day, like 8 hours a day, and it's hot, and it's 100 degrees outside. And then you get to the hotel and you shower up, you come down for your buffet dinner, and then you chit chat for a little while. And then it's like, all right, we got to get up at 5 a.m. and do this all over again.
Yes. Yes.
But there was one person in there who, for me, is like the quintessential like person like you, where she would be falling over in her sleep. But as long as there was somebody else in the lobby, she couldn't go to her room. She, like, the fear of missing out is so big. Yep. And so, like, my question is, for someone like that right now, does that get exacerbated? Like, I'm missing out on everything? Or because we're all in the same spot, do you feel like you're right in the middle of everybody else and I'm not missing out on anything?
Yeah, I'd say the second one. I'd say it's like, I'm missing nothing.
Okay,
because for me, right, like, that would be more the 25-year-old me and less the 40-year-old me, right?
Yeah,
so, like, I went on the Israel trip 4 years ago, and I'd be like, okay, I'm going to bed because I have to do all this tomorrow, and I'm with a bunch of college students that can run circles around me, right?
Yeah.
But now it's like, okay, we're all in the same spot, so it's actually more of, like, having to deal with, like, there's a certain amount of, like, grieving that takes place, right? And I don't like to do that. Like, that's not my MO.
Fun.
That's not fun. There's nothing fun about feeling all those feelings.
Yeah.
And I'm better at it now that I'm older.
I mean, you're mature enough in your own emotional makeup to go.
Right. Yeah. And so, you know that, and when you can experience that range of emotion and feeling, then it actually just amplifies your joy.
Mm.
So it's actually a better, you know, scenario. But yeah, now it's like, okay, nobody can do anything.
Yeah.
So that makes it better on one level, but it brings almost no comfort on another, right? Like, then it's just like, but I want to.
In some ways, that makes it worse.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Like, I just want to call somebody up and do something. I sort of, you know, people send me all kinds of, like, Facebook memes and all that kind of stuff that remind them of me, like, pastor
funny.
Coming, like, when you come back on the first Sunday, it's like Chris Farley and he's going crazy. But, you know, one of it is, like, this woman talking and she's like, hey, do you want to go to the grocery store at the same time? I know we're not supposed to, but I promise not to hug you. I promise.
Like,
and I feel like that's me. Like, what do I need to do to entice you to bend the rules with me? Like, can we go on? I promise to stay.
You're going
to
kill us all.
I know, right? I promise to stay 6 feet apart from you.
Oh, that's funny.
I'm just doing the best I can.
Well, listen, we all are.
That's right.
But it's just like, like you said, like, some of us are bred more for captivity. I mean, I'm not 100% either, but I could go probably 2 weeks if, like, without talking to anybody and be okay.
You know? Oh, man,
like, after that, I would want to talk to somebody every day. But, you know, like, I wouldn't mind that in some ways, but in other ways, like, I need a good balance of it.
Sure.
Yeah. Well, let's get into your questions. What do you got for me today? Well,
yeah, the first one is because we, you know, in that regard, we're just different people. We've had this conversation before, even when it comes to church planting, and I've been able to access some of your wonderful three energy. But how do you feel like, you know, in this realm of your Enneagram number, personality wise, how do you feel like that's played out in this season? Has it like sharpened some of the good stuff or dulled it, or yeah, how has that kind of played out for you in both work and home?
I think that's a good question. I mean, my personality, like to simplify my personality, is I like to get things done, you know, like I like to achieve a thing. But also that achievement is really deeply connected to my connection to people. And so, you know, you talk about the 25-year-old you and the 40-year-old you, and I think those two me's are very different. And so like the 25-year-old me in this situation is different than I am currently functioning. So that's, and I'm glad for that. But I think it would have, driven me a lot more crazy, because there's only so much I can do and achieve and all that kind of stuff. And, now it's like, I am okay when the different parts of my personality like rise and fall. Like there's seasons for different parts of it. Like there are times when it's like, oh, I need to be present with you and engage with you. And there are other times where I need to like lead you and we're going to get something done. Right. And I've learned more how to navigate some of those things. So right now I feel like I have less things I can do as we all do, and I'm kind of okay with it. I have to structure my connection with other people, because it's not like for you, it just, you just wake up in the morning and here it comes. Right.
Right. Yep.
For me, I have to like write it down on a to-do list, and I have to do a podcast 3 times a week, right? To make sure I'm having like connective conversations with people. And I have to like have certain meetings and things like that. But so it's different. Like I wonder, some people might feel like it's less organic, but it's like the way I do connect. And so I'm trying to like, I'm using that like achiever planner energy to achieve the relational connection experience.
Right. Well, that's still helpful. I mean, cause I think if you know that about you, then you're actually making the connections, where I would imagine, you know, before that, if that was a realization in the last, I don't know, whatever, then that wasn't happening. It's like, if I have to write it down to make it happen, and I'm going to start writing it down, I'll create a spreadsheet if I have to.
Yeah. I mean, I was just working on my spreadsheet for like podcast guests, and it's kind of like, well, who would be fun to talk to, you know, like that sort of thing. But it also like the stressor for me is, not that I'm afraid of change, but as we were talking before we even hit record, like flipping the button of change, that's how quickly it happened.
Yeah.
Some personality types are like, great, let's rock and roll. That sounds fun. And for me, I'm like, hold on. Let me consider all the considerations. Let me plot out the boundary lines and then go, now what are we doing with this thing? And I didn't get a chance to do that. So I think it took me a good 2 or 3 weeks to go, what are the things here? And I can't plan forward until I do that. And so now I'm finally getting the point of going, I wonder what this will look like in the future and all that kind of stuff.
See, I need somebody, I need to always have somebody like you on my team, because I love change. And so for the first, that was the nice thing about this. The first week for me, the first couple weeks was like gangbusters. There's all these things that it's like, I have to adapt to this change. So I'm going to spend all my energy adapting to this change and doing the stuff. And even in that, whether I liked it or not, it gave me something to do.
Yeah.
And I like that. So then I don't, and I have to pause and remind myself, what are the considerations? Cause sometimes I'm, you know, 5 steps into something before I stop and then say, so sometimes
I have to consider, I'm going to get 5 steps in and then I'm going to have to stop. And then I have to back something off. And that was probably, I withdrew from my like leadership credibility because of it, you know?
Yep. Yep, that's so true. And so,
but like for me, the opposite was true. Like in the midst of that change, like even as I led my team, I kept telling them, you don't need to do new things right now. Like pick up the phone and call people is the only thing I want you to do. Yeah. Whereas some people are like, well, let's do this and let's try this and let's start these ideas, you know? And I like really like withdrew from that kind of thinking, because it's like, I can't, personally, it stresses me out. And I'm like, let's just build a foundation of consistency and connection with people. And like, that's the most important thing right now. So like, just stay in the box, everybody. And so that was hard for me. And now it's, I don't know, I still try to manage that. But
Well, and that's, I don't know. Do you find this too? Like, I'm not, I would say that my issue or my, like, the whole comparison, like comparing, you know, yeah. I don't do a ton of that, but I notice things. And so now with everybody at churches doing all their stuff on Facebook, and all the stuff, I don't know if you at all found like, oh man, that's they're doing that. That's kind of cool.
Or, I don't have a Facebook account.
I remember getting that the first week of like, should I be doing that? Holy cow. They're doing a live stream for two services. And I was like, and then, you know, part of it was like, okay, well, I definitely don't want to do that. So,
I mean, I have a big comparison gene, in me. The unfortunate turn that comparison gene sometimes takes is like, well, I'm better than that, or I'm better than them. And, you know, and I'm like, which isn't true ever. But I also feel like I try hard to not do that. Mm-hmm. But I think the first 2-3 weeks of this thing was more, less about what our churches are doing and more, how do you function as a pastor right now?
Yeah.
Because I'm around 10, 12 pastors all the time. You know, and some of them like are very different than me, like you are, right? And we understand those nuances of how like you're going to do something different than I do something.
Right.
But in the midst of like this kind of quick change, it's been, well, I think the best way for me to be a pastor is like this.
Yep.
And for me, I wasn't sure what that answer was. Mm-hmm. And I've had to figure that out. And I'm still not sure I know, but I'm also just doing my best. You know?
Right, right. And I think, don't you feel like there's grace for that? Like, do you feel like that from your people? Like, yeah, I just keep saying like, we're just trying to figure it out. Maybe what we do right now isn't what we're going to do 2 weeks from now. And people seem to be like, yeah, we get that.
I think there totally is. And I think like everybody around me and my team is like, we're all for each other. And so I'm not necessarily worried about that. I think there is an institutional pressure though to play along, right? Like to say, you have an idea. Let's all do that. Like I have an idea. Let's all do that. And I have that when I put an idea out where I want to be like, I think this idea is really great. And you all should be doing it too.
You know? Right. Why are you not jumping on board?
Right. But so if I'm a person who's not going to jump on board, or if they're not going to jump on board with something that I'm doing, like the institutional pressure is there's something wrong then. Somebody is wrong, right?
Yep.
And I always feel like it's me. And I'm like, I get really insecure about like, well, are they smart and I'm not? Are they doing the right thing and I'm failing? Am I just a jerk? Like, what's wrong with me? And so I've been trying to play at like, how do we give institutional grace to say like, it's okay to not just try and fail, but even to not try some things.
Right. Yes. Yes. Yeah. To not try some things. Yeah.
You know, like, cause I don't think you have to try everything you can to make sure those 120 people show back up. Like, I don't think that's your job.
Right.
You know, your job is to shepherd a group of people and try to engage them as best as you can, which is going to be different than the way I'm going to do it.
Right.
So.
Yeah. Trying to keep those relationships just going.
Yeah. 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 So, I mean, I don't have a Facebook account, but I still feel that pressure too, I think, just even internally or even hearing it. But at the same time, I also feel like we know who our people are better than anybody else, you know? So if I feel like I'm going to, you know, try this approach, I'm going to do this little podcast and some people are going to really connect with it and that's going to help them.
Yep.
Any one thing we do is not a silver bullet. We're not going to connect with everybody. We're not going to fix everything. We're not going to. You know, you just have to continue to be available and open a bridge for people, I think. So
That's cool.
That was a good question. What's your next one?
Yeah. Well, my next one is, and I think I've been asking, it's kind of my go-to question.
Ooh, fine.
Right? What in this season right now, what's bringing you joy? Or in, I guess maybe even an extension of like, for me, joy is how you're experiencing God. So, right. Maybe it's a twofold. Maybe there's a double answer to that. Maybe it's a Netflix show and something else, but like, what's bringing you joy in this season?
You know, mowing the lawn brings me joy.
I know that about you, so.
But I haven't been able to do it a lot. So, I think like, honestly though, like this is always often true for me. What brings me joy is rest in my pace. And so like slowing down and being attentive to what God is doing inside of me brings me a lot of joy. Mm-hmm. And I get a lot of that right now.
You have a lot of time to slow down for sure.
So like, I like slowing down. I mean, I'm a high achiever and I like achieving things, But I don't like doing it at the expense of being uncentered or not centered, right?
Sure. And that can, I mean, I feel like that can, that's a tough balance sometimes, because that can happen quickly, is like, oh man, I'm sort of spinning.
Yeah.
To doing the things.
Yeah.
I'm not an achiever. I don't think there's an achieving bone in my body sometimes, but like,
I just like to be around.
Yeah. Right. I just like to hang out. Yeah. But like, I think that I can spin in that direction, right? Of like, I got to keep moving. I got to do the things.
I'm finding a lot more joy in my relational connections with people too. Like conversations are giving me great joy. I really am enjoying, like, because there's nothing else to have, right? Like, yep. So it's almost like you strip out all the, like, the processed ingredients, and suddenly you can taste like the natural things in your food, and you're like, ooh, this is good.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, now I don't have a thing to be to next or a schedule to keep. And it's like, I can just be present with people. Not that I wasn't trying to before, but boy, it's a lot easier now. Like, I was on a call last night. We're doing these virtual communities at our church, which is just like, everybody get in groups and do Zoom hangouts, you know?
Yeah.
And so we had a lot of fun kind of doing that last night. And afterwards, I was like, so whoever was leading said, yeah, should we be doing this like every week? Does that sound good? And everyone's like, got nothing else to do.
I don't know. Let me check my schedule.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I cannot tell you a season in ministry where that was the case, where people would voluntarily be like, I think maybe we should just be together every week.
I know. I want to start signing up for people for groups right now.
Just so I know.
I'm not competing with sports or, you know, any of the other crazy busy family schedule stuff.
Yeah. Cause the way it goes is like, well, we can do every other week at the most, but we'll probably have to skip every third time.
And, yeah. Once travel this starts, then we can't be there. On this
day. It's baseball season now, or, you know, Jim's job is really picking up in the season. And so like, we've got this thing, and we got the family party to go to, and you know, so-and-so had a baptism at my cousin's thing. And it's like, now the response is, got nothing else to do.
That's great. Yeah. What day? I'm open. Yeah.
I can't honestly find a reason why we can't be together.
Yep.
And that's given me a lot of joy, just to be like, and here's a strange thing in that too. You must not feel this, but I feel this. I like being able to interact the way I'm interacting right now. You know, like, I'm making phone calls, I'm on Zoom calls, I get to see people, and I feel no pressure that other people are doing it better or differently. Like, I feel no pressure that, Carrie's just showing up at everybody's house, you know, and having
coffee. Because that's what I would do if I was allowed to.
Right, yeah.
Like, hang out with me in your driveway.
But there's something freeing about, like, none of us have any comparison pressure in terms of how we're interacting with each other.
Yeah.
Right? Like, we're all like, we have phone calls and video calls. That's it, you know? Like, and I'm like, all right, I'm kind of nailing it then.
Look, I got my list. I'm going down through it. I'm making these connections with people. Yeah. It's for me, it's one of those, it's fine, but I can actually, at the end of the day, even if I want to hang out like with, you know, good friends of mine, I can just be like, I can't do another one of these. Like, I can't. It's a different kind of emotional.
It totally is.
Kind of energy that it takes. And so.
Does it drain you or it doesn't fulfill you in the same way?
No. Yeah. I can have fun for a while. Like, I remember one night I hung out with a friend of mine, just a couple, and we were hanging out talking like we'd normally do. And we hung out for 2 hours on Zoom.
Yeah.
Like, you know, that's some sort of, record, I think.
Yeah.
And that was really, really cool and fun. And I loved it. And we had, it was really, it felt authentic and great. And then I would click off and I was like, and the smile lasted for like a minute. And then this was sort of like, it wasn't
real.
As good as it could be. Yeah. It wasn't real. That's what it felt like.
Yeah. Like, I think a lot of people might must feel that too. I mean, it's one thing when it's about work, you know, and you're having your meetings.
Yes.
You know, here, I've experienced in my meetings, like, a lot more, a higher percentage of misunderstanding or crossed wires, just because we're not in the same physical space together.
Yes.
You know, like, there's something about that helps us. I used to be connected to you every week, and now it's like, okay, where are you? You know? And
right. Yeah.
But yeah, people have like screen fatigue, you know, of interacting with people that way.
Yeah, it's just a different way of of doing it. And yeah, FaceTime used to be the thing that I would do with friends that didn't live around here, you know,
Kelly in
Washington. I'd be like, oh, let's do that. But other than that, I was like, I just would avoid it really. They're like, no, I'll just come over. Can I come over? So yeah,
nope, I'm waiting not for right now.
Day. I know.
Yeah. And I think that people, I wonder how that will impact people's relational. Someone like you on the other end of this is going to be like, oh God, I can be at your house now.
Yes.
Other people are going to be like, going outside scares me.
Yeah.
I went to the grocery store a couple of weeks ago and I was like scared.
Yeah.
You know, like,
yeah, it's a feeling.
Just a low level, like mysterious anxiety, fear of what's going to get me, you know? And
yeah,
are people going to go into their personal, like, want to, like, I'm going to go hang out at your house. And then when they leave, go, like, I didn't even realize I was holding my breath, but I was, you know?
Right, right.
And maybe that's going to happen.
I'm coming to your house. So I'm coming to your house and you're going to have to get ready. And I know that you guys have been very following all the rules. So I feel very safe. So me that you're going to have to worry about.
But, and then I also wonder, is that going to be, well, we're going to do that the first two times and then we're quickly getting over it, you know?
Like, right.
The pull of being together, I think, will overcome that for most people.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which is why it's be careful about opening like a church too. Like
exactly.
If you think we can open a church and maintain strict social distancing guidelines, you're a crazy person.
Yes, indeed. And because for me, if it's, I can keep doing church like this.
Yeah.
As long as we can start seeing people. Like, right. If I can give one for the other, if we can start opening up and having a, you know, small group or, you know, getting together in little groups of people, then I can do this for months if I have to.
I mean, cause it's different than a grocery store. We don't know each other there.
Right.
Like exactly. I'm going to stay away from you.
Yes.
But how are you going to keep, you know, like in my case, how are you going to keep 400 people from not like hugging each other,
right,
standing close enough to have a conversation with each other.
It's got to go to four services.
Yeah. And that's a terrible
right?
idea.
Silly. It's a terrible idea.
Yeah. All right. Three of you in each service. Sign up for the one you want.
Can you imagine? You'd have to have services all week long.
Yeah. Well, people would just stay home then and do the online.
Exactly. Because
they would be like, I get what you're doing, but this is way better.
Yeah. This is not worth it. And I'm not doing it anymore. Yeah. Plus I could stay. Now people are like, I got to put pants on now. And I don't really feel like doing that.
No, I've been wearing mostly two pairs of shorts for 6 weeks.
Nice. I just last week, I was confessing to our church in like a Zoom call. The newness, the excitement, the fun of wearing pajamas every day has worn off. And so I'm back in jeans.
Oh, that's funny.
I know. Right. It's like, it makes me feel normal again. So
I'm going to put like a shirt and a tie on one of these days for all my meetings. I don't know.
Cause you wear those all the time.
Listen, this thing is doing crazy things to
people. Right. That's right. Mm-hmm. Oh gosh. That's funny.
Well, thanks for hanging out on the podcast today. It was fun to chat.
Yeah. Good to chat with you too. I look forward. Actually, I'm going to come over to your house later today. Cause I have to drop off 25 pounds of flour for your wife. So
I don't even want to know.
Just wait.